Tonight's spooky episode of Classics at Josie's Cafe, sponsored in part by Candied Corn, the sweet that will withstand any apocalyptic scenario. Erotic Ensemble Costume Company, whether it's sexy Dora the Explorer or hot Harriet Tubman, Erotic Ensemble Costume Company has all of your scantily clad needs. And by Camp Crystal Lake, the camping experience your kids will die for.
Welcome back to Classics at Josie's Cafe. My name is Jose. I have Bob and Nate here today, and today we have a Halloween special. This is Frankenstein, the original Frankenstein. And Nate, you had actually told me about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
This was my first time watching this movie. I can't believe I've never seen it. But just from very beginning of the movie, this is a movie in the 30s, 1933. In the very beginning of the movie, just the shot, just the way it's the cinematography, just the way it's shot, automatically you know you're in it for a classic movie. Like, it's really, really amazing cinematography on top of the story. A lot of people think it's kind of campy. I didn't see it campy at all.
I saw
a really depressing Donald Lux kind of movie.
No. Well, no, like, I hadn't seen it either. I've seen like bits and pieces of, like, you know, the windmill like being set on fire and
it's a classic scene.
Classic.
Like,
or when he's like
the alive scene.
He's alive! He's alive! Like, you always see that, you know, but or the part where the little girl is giving Frankenstein the flower. They always show that part.
Well, they mirrored the hell out of that in Young Frankenstein, with Mel Brooks, which that's it's hilarious. The seesaw. She flies. Sorry. That's a great movie, too.
It is. You know, we should probably do that one, actually. That's a...
Yeah, because you asked if we'd seen it. It's like, of course.
When I finally saw it and I was at work and I was just like, man, this is... It's tragic. It's a really sad movie. Like, the fact that, like, it's... We're kind of on this thing of, like, science and maybe going a little too far. But I want to say it's almost like that... I want to say it's almost that lack of humanity that would really have just kind of maybe just kept everything in.
I guess, in a sense, hubris.
Well, I wouldn't even say hubris, because hubris kind of got him to where he is. Like, he wanted to destroy
successful.
Life and create life in his own. And, you know, granted, that he was successful at that. It was just kind of the follow through. Like, honestly, but
that's just it. He did have everything planned out, you know. But also, you know, as we technology, we've had conversations about technology before, and will again. At the time that the movie takes place, which I haven't read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, the original. I wish I have, but it'll take a million years for me to read it.
It's a different animal.
Yeah, but. You know, electricity is brand new at that time. And, you know, he was Dr. Frankenstein. You know, he was going to school to be a doctor. But electricity was new at the time, and these machines and so forth. And he just got this brainchild and just had to run through it. You know, it's like, you know, when they talk about him, you know, he seems like, you know, he was just like the Baron's son. But... So at some point in time through school, it's like he just became obsessed. You know, even his professor, when they go to see him, talks about it. His fiance talks about it. His father is completely oblivious. His father just thinks everything should be just the way how he thinks things should be. Very, I wouldn't say he's pessimistic, but, you know, it's just like one of those ideas that just burns into your brain until you make something of it. So, I mean, he had an end result, and he had steps that he wanted to take with it. But unfortunately, things didn't turn out the way he did. He shouldn't have sent Fritz out there to go get the brain, because that guy is, he's a lackey.
Good help is so much. It's so hard to find.
It's hard to find a good hunchback, you know.
Yeah,
these days,
to get the right brain, because, you know, a good hunchback would have been like, master, I failed you. I didn't get the brain. The only thing they have was this abnormal brain.
Abby normal.
Well, he drops the first one.
Yeah, he drops. Yeah. He screws up and drops the first one. They should have just waited till he got like a new brain. Or,
you know what?
You know,
honesty. You know, he should have, like, you know, found an Igor that's a lot more honest. Because I'm sorry, man. You know, because not Igors are all created the same.
No,
I'm sorry,
no.
You know.
You know, like, because, like I said, you...
They get churned out sometimes. They get churned out.
Because,
you know,
he
it's
went
like,
to just
Master,
henchman school.
You know, he would have come up and said, Master, I've got this brain. This isn't the one that you wanted. I got spooked. I dropped it. I grabbed this one. It's like, well, who's it from? I don't know. This guy, Abby Normal. And yeah, no. He'd be like, okay, we need to find another one.
We
wouldn't
have found
man.
A new brain. They would have made plans. They would have maybe, you know, just maybe got a, you know, I didn't know where you get a brain at that time, but they would have found some other. And, you know, and maybe Frankenstein would have edited on a different note if he just had better help.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you know, Fritz, yeah, he was good for, like, cutting down bodies and... You know,
making connections,
small things, you know, unimportant things, but yeah, it's, you know.
Do you think it was job security? That's why he picked up the abnormal brain? It was like, oh, I'm going to get fired.
He probably would have been, you know, minced up into something else.
But, you know, of course.
He would have been experimented on.
Yeah.
But no, it's like, you know. because
then they would have taken his brain.
Honestly, Fritz didn't have the best brain either, so.
Yeah,
No. Yeah, no, but.
I want a good brain, goddammit.
I Chris going down this road. But no, it's kind of like, you know, from like House on Haunted Hill. It's like, you know, they talked about the house, you know, like none of the angles were square or anything like that. And like,
well, that was a haunting.
Or sorry, the haunting. I can't even know these damn movies. I have horrible names. You know, where he does his work. And it was just because we'd watched the movie so recently. It kind of made me, every time they would show a scene inside this tower that he's working in, nothing is square in there. Like, even where he changed Frankenstein up, you know, where the window is, it's all these, like, crazy angles, you know, all over the place. The stairs, I don't know how the hell someone didn't, you know, fall and, like, kill themselves on the stairs and stuff, you know?
Well, it's probably the reason why it was abandoned.
Probably, but, yeah, that is just poor workmanship, you know, it's like... Maybe at the time it was built, masons were really hard to find, you know.
Or it could have been just...
The shiners popped up and just, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah, too many fezzes.
Yeah, too many... Or maybe just they maybe it was just hastily constructed. Because it was just a tower. It could have just been... maybe just old and it was just falling apart.
Yeah,
maybe,
I mean...
It might have been straight at one time, but then they just, you know...
Leaning Tower of Pisa kind of thing?
No. That was kind of like... I'm talking about it would have just designed at
the time. Well, no, the Leaning Tower of Pisa were quality built. That thing leaned and it didn't fall apart.
Well, you know, but it was straight at one time.
It just started leaning.
Huh? But, no, like this... What kind of got to me the fact that, yeah, and of course in... At the rest of the movie after Frankenstein is brought to life, which listen, honestly, like I don't want to say I applaud Dr. Frankenstein for bringing someone back to life. Which honestly, that is an amazing discovery if you really think about it. That would be great.
I mean, people have been dreaming and fantasizing about that since probably the dawn of time.
You know?
I mean, it's death to escape death. I mean, really, that's exactly what he was doing. He was cheating death.
Yeah.
I mean, how amazing would that be? That's the unattainable has been attained, you know.
But my problem
through technology,
was that the fact that after he brought the the monster to life, he didn't really because you know they had him like chained up in the basement. It's kind of like making the baby, say the baby's born, and then taking care of the baby. They're kind of two different animals.
Yeah.
Like I said, they should have, like, instead of having chained up in the basement, maybe they, you know, like, I don't know if they're going to get him a bedroom set or something like that, but maybe not chaining in the basement and maybe not have...
A little more nurturing.
A little bit. Maybe not have, Fritz, you know, tease him with the torch
well,
or
whatever. That's the thing right there is the whole fire scene is like... When he started doing that, I was like, what an a-hole.
Yeah.
Like, that's... Come on. And he started poking at him. And then even Dr. Frankenstein's like, get that fire out of here. And he's still like, jumping around.
Yeah. And he's still on it. And it's like, dude, what's the matter
with
you, man?
Maybe he wouldn't be as agitated if you... Maybe if you coddled Frankenstein a little bit. Like, no, my big baby boy.
Yeah.
No. Shh. Do you want,
it got
you know,
down a little bit more of the way of young Frankenstein, you know?
Yeah, and maybe like, give him a teddy bear, maybe a bed to sleep in. Because honestly, when they're showing that, it's like, no wonder he's agitated. You're keeping him against his will in a basement, a dark basement.
He's in this body that he either he's never had this type of power before, or he just feels like you know, he just feels totally off.
Well, that or just not all there.
Well, yeah.
Well, because I mean, he, you know, even when he brings him upstairs, you know, to when he has the his teacher and professor up there, mm-hmm. you know, he brings him in and he shows him light for the first, like, you know, he's very docile, you know, which is, you know, you're not really expecting that, you know, for him to be so
laid back.
Yeah, I wouldn't say malleable, but you know, like he just directs him, you know, just. You know, he's very.
He's not like he just wakes up and starts.
Yeah, he's not like telling him. It's like, get over there and sit down. He's like, come here, come on, it's okay. You know, and he's, you know, like a child. You know, he's you know,
which is working until freaking Fritz.
Fritz. And it's kind of one of those things. It's like, man, it's like, you know, if Fritz, you know, if he just like got rid of Fritz, man, how would it all turned out? You know, even with the abnormal brain, you know,
because I guess the.
Maybe he could have been a productive person in society.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just a hand falls off every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and not to mention the fact that the abnormal brain, like, I really, after the whole tower scene, I was like, I think Frank, you know, the monster, I think the monster's just autistic. I think that's actually, that was just maybe the fact that the monster maybe just been, the abnormal brain might have been just from somebody, you know, developmentally challenged.
Well, no. The brain came from a criminal.
Well, no, but that's a thing.
And that's what was the comparison was made.
They say he was a criminal, but honestly, that criminal might have had a development issue.
No. I understand that because they were. Yeah, I got that because he was even sitting there saying the differences in the brains. Brain. Yeah. It's like, this is the brain of a scientist and a great person. This is the brain of, you know, a dirtbag of society kind of thing. It's kind of what he was doing, but he only had those two brains there for comparison. So they don't go into. How many brains of convicted criminals, murderers, and rapists and so forth that they've had to compare with people who have lived normal, productive lives. So that's also, even though we're discussing it, that's not needed no information. Yeah. But even though it's bringing up the conversation because, you know, they've done studies like that before because, you know, especially back in the day because there was no rules.
Well, no, yeah, but back then, like, it would have been like, oh, we have a brain. You know, I can imagine brains are kind of hard to come by. And I can imagine the murder, especially the way they handled development issues back then. Mm-hmm. You were just a dummy. And, you know, of course, imagine someone with development issues, like, being, like, not maybe being abandoned because he was different or he was having, you know, issues.
Yeah.
Him getting in trouble with the law. Him actually just kind of, you know, falling down this, even though they probably didn't understand. He needs to be treated differently because the thing, it's kind of like the whole, like when they shut down the state hospital and they're sending all these people with development issues and straight into the prisons and surprise, surprise, suicide rates like shot way up
because
the fact that these people need help.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's totally prevalent today. Like you said, I mean, there's studies that talk about how some criminals have underdeveloped frontal cortex.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how that, for some reason, they feed on certain appetites that normal people can kind of conceptualize and think, you know what, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or that one guy where he was in an accident where he was like a good man, he was like, you know, a family man, and then he in a construction accident. He got a pole because basically his job was he was a packer. They would bore out a hole in a cliff. They'd pack it full of gunpowder, fill it with wood chips, and his job was to stamp it down with a metal pipe. And someone didn't put the wood chips, so he struck a spark and he hit the gunpowder, and he shot the pipe under the bottom of his neck and out the top of his head.
Jeez.
And he survived, but it caused a lot of frontal damage. And after that, he took a lot of crazy risks. And then he started gambling a lot and became kind of like all these kind of like, I guess you'd consider bad behaviors to the fact that he did have brain damage. So like I said, I'm like,
you know, lack of, was it apathy and empathy and things like that?
Because the fact damage to the frontal cord, you know, frontal lobe does control a lot of, a lot of our behaviors. Mm-hmm. So... I really want to say that the fact that they had this abnormal brain, it might have just been, like I said, someone socially, like, you know, with, like, developmental issues, and then they put him in this giant body, and the fact that, like, of course, like I said, Fritz didn't help any, and of course, and you wonder why he started, you know, murdering people, you know, just to...
Well, either that or, you know, the, you know, taking the brain from this person and putting it into another person, too. It's like, it might that not alone. Just been quite compatible, you know, maybe yeah. some of the...
The way it fits, maybe it might have...
Well, that you know, or just the...
I don't know enough about anatomy,
Being able to connect with the tissues, maybe not
oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
you know, not all the wiring was able, you know, was compatible, you know, with the other. I can't
so
think of the actual
maybe
terms
the,
I'm thinking
of course,
but
granted, I don't want to say like the maybe the course. Granted, they showed a brain in Crest. I can't imagine actually them stuffing a brain inside a mm-hmm. skull.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's room for it. But
of course, granted, this. But the thing is, the brain is also coming from a dead person whose brain has been floating in formaldehyde. So. But the thing is, too, he could have had the good brain, and the same thing happened. So,
yeah. True. Yeah.
You know, I mean, but they kind of lean more towards that it's a dysfunctional brain.
It's,
you know,
well, you have
from
to
a dysfunctional
about,
person.
That's the genius of the movie. You have to make even like a young child understand what's going on. Because if I watched this when I was 13, and it said, and I watched that scene where Fritz drops the normal brain and grabs the abnormal brain, I'm already sold to the idea that, this is not a good idea.
Yeah.
So it's just it's just really easy explanation of what's going to happen. Because, I mean, we're sitting here thinking about it, but when you're watching a movie, you don't have time to, like, really analyze and what's...
But, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know if I should be even talking about Young Frankenstein anymore. Is just focus on this. But you know, but the way Mel Brooks did that one, and it mirrors, but then it kind of, it's comedy. But
has its own.
Yeah, it has its own way and its own way of dealing with some of the maybe some of these discussions that we're having ourselves, you know, about these things, you know.
Gene Wilder is just like, he may be a monster, but he's still a human. He's still a person. And that's the kind of part that got me the most. It's a part where after they chased him into the windmill, and of course he did Frankenstein, did he fall out, or did Frankenstein kind of like he pushed him out a little bit, didn't he? Then he fell in one of the blades, and then he kind of landed on the ground, which I kind of got.
Oh, you're talking about in the classic movie. Oh yeah. No. He threw him. I think is what it was.
And then you see the scene where they're setting the fire, and then he's like, Frankenstein's like freaking out, like.
He doesn't know how to communicate. You know?
No,
I mean that's the thing. And, you know, it's just like with Fritz. It's like he couldn't communicate. You know, fear. Yes, you see fear with him until he finally snaps and he kills him.
Yeah.
You know, but that's also the abnormal brain. Is that where it immediately went to when it had enough? Is to kill and strangle Fritz to death. You know, it kind of revolves around that. You know, he can't communicate. You know, and in there, you know, he's not really yelling. You know, it's kind of like, you know, with some, say like a deaf person, you know, they can't really talk very well. They can kind of like moan, you know, some can convey speech, but, you know, moan. Maybe he couldn't hear. Well, I can't make that argument because he tells him, he's like, sit down. And he sits down. But maybe it's because he's motioning too.
Frankenstein might have been deaf. Yeah, he might have just not.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't even.
Yeah, the wiring just didn't connect to the ears. You know,
connect to the ears. Yeah, he could have just been like, "Wow, yeah, that makes a lot more sense."
But he is for sure underdeveloped because that scene where he's playing with the little girl
scene. Yeah,
yeah, you know, he just doesn't understand. You know, but that's just it. That's part of like it's almost. Yeah,
it's like a baby in a big giant body.
Yeah. Well, but exactly. You know, Dr. Frankenstein cheated death. But in cheating death, he really didn't cheat death. He created a new life and created a giant, monstrous baby of woe. You know?
But, of course, the thing is, I kind of laughed when he threw the girl into the water. Mm-hmm. See, you know, of course, I was kind of thinking what the difference in scenes would have been. Like after, you know, she gives her the daisy and throwing into the water, and that's cute. That's very, very human. And then he just kind of grabs her and throws her in the water. And I laughed because that's funny.
Yeah.
You know, because of course, then you've at the end, you know, you realize that the girl drowned. I was like, see how much more human would have been then if she didn't drown. And she's like, ah, you suck. You know, you threw me in the water. Compare her dying because she got, you know.
Well, but
of course, that's the catalyst for them to. Didn't
well,
say
but
the
you
mob.
See as she's like. She's paddling around and she's, you know, while she's drowning, you know, he like knows something is wrong, and he's like trying to, you know, to reach for, and he panics and runs away. But I mean, he's trying as best as he can, you know. And you know, it's kind of one of those things. It's like, you know, he didn't do it to hurt her. He just kind of like word association. You just kind of like, wow, you know, yeah. You kind of go along with the flow.
Well,
you know?
I mean, that's the important thing I think that they were trying to understand is like, if we're following this trait about this new human being mm-hmm. being underdeveloped, he has to learn about this society, has to kind of learn how to work. But, you know, kind of bringing that, marrying to what's going on in modern society with a lot of these issues that we have with, you know, mental states mm-hmm. and underdeveloped people, if they're put in a situation to where they're being picked on, they're being bullied, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they're going to try to defend themselves the best way they know. And I kind of mm-hmm. feel like the Fritz character represents all those people that kind of pick and all those people that kind of make it hard for these underdeveloped.
They're not understanding.
Because honestly, Fritz himself is underdeveloped.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know? Yes. Yeah. Well, see, the underdeveloped.
Yeah, he's definitely not the brightest bulb in the box.
No, he's not.
What I mean about underdeveloped is that there's a lot of people that are sadly not educated, and they just automatically have opinions towards certain things and certain biases. And he sees him automatically as that monster.
Yeah.
He can't sit back and try to.
Yeah, he doesn't see him in the eyes that Dr. Frankenstein sees him.
He also,
you know,
doesn't see
something precious to hold and to care for, nurture,
he,
you know.
He also didn't understand the fact that he just thought he could just pick on Frankenstein and Frankenstein breaking his neck.
Yeah.
He also didn't understand that. Because honestly, think about it.
And he's picking on him like he has like a new dog. He's like, come on.
Yeah. He didn't understand that, you know, like I said.
Yeah, that dog bites.
That dog bites. And, Fritz himself didn't also understand the danger of, you know, harassing a giant man.
Mm.
And, of course, like I said, like, he wasn't...
Was the mind of a child.
Yeah, especially. Because, you know, we're lucky Fritz, he didn't end up like just that...
No.
No.
No. Who runs Bartertown?
Master Blaster.
Bargold. We gotta do that scene. You know, every time we do that, we gotta do that entire scene.
No, I know. It's like I do a deal.
Tell them a little bit about what that scene is, real quick.
Okay. In Mad Max,
Beyond Thunderdome.
Beyond the Thunderdome, there's this character called Master Blaster, which is two people. And of course, Master is this. He's a short person.
He's a midget, which with the correct term these days would be dwarf.
Dwarf. And of course, he runs Bartertown. He runs
the under part of the town. All the power, you know, he
basically
runs
is
the
just,
plant.
Yeah, they
I guess.
They have like pigs, and mm-hmm. they use the methane for the pigs to produce mm-hmm. energy.
Yeah, and he's the guy that created the machine to be able to mine this and use it to generate power and so forth.
And
so
course,
he's the only one that knows how to work it.
Yeah, and then there's Blaster, which is this giant man that
like
Master runs.
Six, 7 foot.
Well, I'm sorry, Blaster. His name's Blaster.
Blaster, yeah.
Sends together.
Looks like a big cornfed guy.
Yeah, and of course, it's Master Blaster.
And he's got this big, like, trash can kind of helmet on. So you never see his face. But then he's got, like, this, like, yoke or, like, little, like, kind of harness on his back. And then Master will actually be put on there, so he rides him around kind of stuff. So he's, you know, they... It's symbiotic relationship is really what it is, you know. It's like, you know...
The brains... And the muscle.
The brawn, yeah.
And, of course, was it Mel, you know, Mel, of course, Tina Turner in the movie, she's, I guess, would she say she's the mayor of whatever the town is? Where
That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, and, of course, she wants to separate the head from the body because she wants to keep the master, keeps the power running, but she wants to control him, but she can't deal with the master. So
yeah, because he controls all the power.
Yeah, so basically, there's a part of the scene where Master turns off the power and he wants Tina Turner, who's like, you know, like, who runs Bartertown? And she's like, Master Blaster runs Bartertown. Then he turns on the PA, say it again. Master Blaster runs Bartertown.
Louder. And then she says it, and then he's like really cranks the shit out of it. And she's just like, you know, she's all mad.
And he's all, embargo lifted, you know, because he puts an embargo, you know, on the city or his town.
And then she really, like, puts in, well, she's been trying to get rid of Blaster for a while, but, you know, that's when
Mel Gibson
comes along and she's able to, because he's an outsider, so kind of deal. So they go to the Thunderdome.
And, course, and so now you know.
And, of course, then you then after that you realize that that Blaster is also an giant autistic man. He's, you know, he's also developmentally challenged. And, of course, that's just a
Of course, he has, like, a big baby face, too, which, you know, kind of... Because once he knocks the helmet off, you know, in the Thunderdome, he's getting ready to kill him, and then he sees his face, and he's just like, whoa, man, you know, it's like that humanity comes back to him, you know? Okay. It's like, ah, even though he's become wild, you know, having
so
to survive.
So if Mad Max was in Frankenstein, he would have understood.
Yeah, he would have. Well, anyway, we got to go back to Frankenstein.
Yeah. You know, of course, we got to make our jokes.
Yeah, of course.
But I just didn't want to have a joke that nobody understood.
Yeah.
No, okay. Well, if you've seen any of the Mad Max movies, yeah, we would have done it. But every time we got to do that scene, like, embargo lifted. Anyway, that's like, one of our themes.
Yeah, that's what we do. You know?
So, but I mean, it's an interesting point that you guys bring it together, bring that up, because, like you said, both of them have these developmental issues. Bringing it back to Frankenstein, that's kind of like the theme of the movie. Whereas, like we were talking about, you know, you have Fritz picking on him, and after he gets rid of him, gets rid of Fritz, he chokes him to death. He's kind of, you know,
he lost
screwed.
It.
Yeah, but that's the kind of thing about it. That's what I'm talking about. He created Frankenstein. I mean, he confronted the monster, but he had no way. He has no idea how to care for him.
He had his plans and ideas, but once Frankenstein went crazy, I guess is a way of putting it. I mean, it's probably not the best way of putting it.
He left, right?
They tried, like, you know, locking him in and then, you know, putting him out, you know, which trying to get him, you know, sedated and then, you know, I guess reestablished. They try, you know, it was a bad plan in the first place, but he was already
he was ready
agitated.
To get out of there. Yeah.
Yeah. He was, it was just blind rage, you know, and, you know, when someone's like that, it's kind of hard to get him under control kind of stuff, but he got away, you know, and they weren't able to pursue. They were both ate up.
And the thing is, like, the doctor, not Frankenstein, his teacher.
Yeah.
He was going to dissect him, and he was just going to dissect him for, of course, granted that, and of course, that would probably been the end of the movie if they just shot Frankenstein right then and there. Once they realized they weren't going to do anything with him, they might as well have just killed him. They might have just shot him in the head.
Well, either that or lethal injection movie. Or something like that, you know, because they had him on the table. And it's kind of, you know. Because
who dissects someone, like, still living?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he thought he was dead. I don't know. See, they really didn't, like, you know, he didn't check a pulse or anything like that. But who knows? This is a created creature. We don't know if it had a regular pulse or anything like that. You know, we just knew it was alive, you know. By extraordinary means through technology, you know, kind of stuff.
And then you're surprised he wakes up on a table and strangles you to death? That's
you know, it's kind of like, dude, you know, what's, man.
At least restrain him, you know?
Look, Fritz the second, you know, come on, man. Why we can't have nice things, man? You're supposed to be above this. You teach people to be doctors. Come on, man. Come on!
And of course, then there's a scene with the little girl that happens. Yeah. And of course, that's very tragic. Of course, granted, if the little girl didn't die, like I said, it would have been a funny human scene of just, you know, Frankenstein, kooky Frankenstein throws her in the water, and she's like, oh, you suck. You know, just of course.
Oh, you. You Frankensteiner.
You card. Of course, then that scene where the farmer is bringing in that little girl.
Oh, and everybody's celebrating, partying. It's like, oh, man, that's brutal.
And then,
the thing is, I'm sorry. Here's the thing, too. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Sure, no.
But that little girl's, the house was right on the river or the lake or pond, and she didn't know how to. Her dad did not teach her how to swim, and he would leave her on his own. Now, granted, it's a different time. You could do that, and nobody gave a shit. Nowadays, it's like, you can't leave your kid in a room for like 2 minutes before they call PCS on you or CPS on you. So, you know, that why that girl didn't know how to swim, I don't know. You know, it's a little far-fetched, but it's believable. It's just like reading, you know, at that time. People are very illiterate. You know, people were, you know, don't go near the water. because dad didn't know how to swim, so he can't teach her how to swim.
Yeah, I mean, I think it happens.
So it's a passed down thing, possibly, so.
Yeah, I think it still happens today.
No, it totally does. It totally does.
So this was a situation happened to me actually last summer, and we all went swimming, and the kids were just kind of staying in the shoreline, the kids that were there, and I was kind of like wanting to go swim, like, oh no, don't go, because they wanted me to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And very quickly I noticed that they did not want to go any further, and I noticed, like, okay, these guys don't know how to swim, and they're like, oh no, my parents told me if I go over there, there's sharks, like, to not go any further. Like, that was the way for the parent to just say, you know what, just stay on the shoreline,
yeah,
scare them into not going, instead of the parent saying, okay, we're going to go and we're going to try to teach you how to float.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I ended up doing for the next hour, is just teaching these kids how to float.
Yeah.
Because that's the best thing that you can do. If you can't swim, you can at least try to float. But I think that's part of that. Like, I don't know if, because I guess she didn't have a mom, and maybe they just moved in there, and maybe the dad was just like, you know, I got to go work. Just stay away from the water. And kids do crazy things. She was just happening to be playing at the edge.
You suspect that they told the kids that just to keep them from going over there.
Yeah,
probably.
I hate to tell you that there really are sharks over there. It's like,
where was this?
Down the coast, right?
No. This was at Jacob's Creek.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yes.
I was going to say, it's like, if you're down at the coast, it's like, yeah, it's murky, but yeah, there's sharks all around you and stuff. They just don't care.
Yeah.
The only time people get attacked is because it's mistaken identity.
Jacob's
Creek. Yeah, no. Yeah, the giant bass shark is going to get you. Well, the mutant bass shark. Yeah. You know? Ooh, piranha.
Ooh.
So what I'm thinking is, with this girl, maybe he didn't have a lot of time on his hands and was like, I got to go to work, and it's just kind of dumb on her part.
She's too young to, or maybe that summer before, because maybe it's...
Or they were about to.
Maybe they're about to. Yeah,
yeah, it's sense. Like,
But, of course, the only thing is, in my theory, that Frankenstein did nothing wrong, you know, like, Chris with the little girl, he didn't understand that, but then he attacks the bride. He goes into her bride's
suite. Yeah, that's weird.
I thought that was kind of weird that he just goes in there and just...
Well, it's weird that Frankenstein has this animal out. We'll call him an animal, I guess. Well,
yeah.
He has this creature. This monster.
Yeah, creature,
this
yeah.
monster,
monster yeah.
out and about. And he's like, well, I guess I can still get married.
I guess I could go get married, whatever.
Well, no, he left the doctor with him.
Yeah, he didn't.
He left him in charge because his fiance is like, you know, where's Dr. Such and Such? It's like, oh, he'll be here. But he also said that he was going to dispose of him.
Yeah.
Because he finally, like, okay, things got out of hand. It's like, we need to end this experiment, I guess you could say. And unfortunately, the doctor wasn't very smart either. You know, he should have just, you know, I'm going to cut this gigantic dude, you know, open alive.
But was it just, like, complete randomness that Frankenstein just found the bride and just happened to be...
Yeah, and of course they don't really say what happens, because she just, like, screams and they find her on the bed. You know, like, of course, you don't know what Frankenstein, if he did, like, choke her a little bit, or did, you know, like...
Something else, is that what you're alluding to?
Unleash the monster, like, I was all like, of course, then that would probably, you know, with...
The mean green.
The
mean green machine.
of course, they could have said, oh, that would have just been on his terrible, abnormal brain, because he is, you know... trying to, you know, sexually assault that woman kind of thing. But of course, granted, they don't really...
Well, I mean, I could see him making it into town because of the party and the noise it's going to carry. You know, maybe that attracted him in. But yes, like y'all mentioned, it's going to her room specifically. I don't know. Maybe he smelled her. I don't know. We just don't know. Maybe he ended up with, like, awesome, like, you know, super heightened sense of smell.
Either that or just...
He could smell a fart at 1,000 miles away. Yeah, I don't know.
Of course, granted, I think maybe that was just writing. And then he goes into her room.
Yeah.
And they don't know what she did. He did, but they find her thrown on the bed. You know, just maybe that was just a writing. They just
she has an
in.
Abnormally
well,
large
I mean,
baby.
Yeah.
In the book, Frankenstein actually learns there's... period of time where he actually learns how to read. He watches a family from afar.
Yeah.
And...
Well, more time takes place in the book.
And he slowly starts to what's alluded that he's killing everybody around the doctor.
Mm.
And that's kind of like, it's kind of alluded that that's what he's doing. Yeah. So I kind of think they wanted to take...
Oh, he's isolating the doctor. Yeah.
Of course, granted, like if you ever saw the Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, the one with Robert De Niro.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Did you see that one?
I haven't seen it.
Were Frankenstein... Okay, were they... Basically, Robert De Niro is Frankenstein.
I might have.
And, of course, that was... That's the part ago. I always remember, the part where, you know, Robert De Niro's like... Am I the De Niro impression? Am I a good man? Am I are these hands? Are they a good man?
You know, it's funny is y'all can't see like the face that he's making.
Yeah, that's my gotta point out my De Niro impression.
Yeah. You got like I, you know, like
am I an evil man? Am I
like you smell something bit, horrible little, and you're hoping little, that it's not in your pants.
But I remember
think I smelled like boom boom myself.
Do I know how to play this flute? You know, just of course I said. And of course then we talk about was it Penny Dreadful where they had Frankenstein
Weinenstein.
Weinenstein. Of course, granted then he was just killing like just people. Like I would have probably liked the
kid. It was emo Frankenstein, man.
Yeah.
Well, really, like, in the book, if you read the book, he's kind of like this emo kid because he's really isolated.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's reading, and that's really where he gets most of his good times. You know. Yeah. But the only thing about that is that he has times where he can redeem himself, and he never really does. So like the moment where, at least me personally, where I started to become sympathetic to the monster,
yeah,
he does something completely stupid and I'm like, oh man, screw you.
Yeah,
you know, like you have this character that has a possibility of
redemption
yeah. and it just never happens.
Yeah.
Whereas in this movie it's a little bit different because it's doesn't take as long of time wise. Doesn't there's not a lot of time. And you kind of feel more sympathetic towards this creature because they kind of play it off as like he doesn't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, in the movie, I kind of feel like he's more of a sympathetic type monster.
Yeah. You're actually, man, what's the word I'm looking for? Not relate to him, but...
You can understand.
You can sympathize.
Because I mean, it's very tragic. You know, just like y'all said before. You know,
because like I said, when I saw the part where they're burning the monster, I was like, that poor monster. Like that's just
the whole village.
Yeah, the whole village just burns up, and he's just like having his freak
he's
out.
Freaking out.
And then he gets crushed by the beam, and he's still alive under the beam. He's like, ah! And I was like, oh, that's a terror. And you know what kind of got me the most. What kind of irritate the fact that at the end of the movie, Frankenstein is in his bed, and his dad is kind of leaving in his bedroom, and of course the maids come by and they kind of like, oh, we're gonna give him some of his grandmother's
champagne or the wine,
wine, and he goes like, he doesn't need this right now. Long live the son of the House of Frankenstein or whatever. And he does a cheer, and then the movie is like, wait a minute, this dude ruins four lives in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, he's hurt, but he really hasn't.
There's no consequence.
There's really no consequence for him.
Well, yeah, because the thing is, for one, nobody knows what the hell, like what the creature was, where it came from, or anything, except for Dr. Frankenstein, his father, because he ends up finding out when he goes up there, the professor who's dead, Fritz who's dead, and his fiance /wife. Nobody knows. But the thing is also, he's an aristocrat. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah,
what are the townspeople going to do? You know, the Burgermeister has to come over and be like, hey, man, is this cool? What's up, man? It's like, yeah.
Because that can irritate me. Like, what, the rich white guy gets away with basically just doing whatever the hell he wants? And then he goes, you know.
God damn it, really?
Yeah, that's kind of what I got to.
Get
I was
the
like,
fuck out of here.
The rich white guy, he's just the wrist. Yeah, they said he's the aristocrat. And he's like, sure, he's injured, but honestly, he's not going to see jail time or any kind of like.
I can't believe you went there.
Yeah, Bob. I did. God, I saw that and I was mad. He should have.
Shut up. You really went there.
He should have burned alive with his
monster. Oh, you're just being an asshole now. Holy shit. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's how I saw it. The
Shut
dude
up, man.
Just no, he didn't. Seriously, he had no consequence for any of his actions.
He's just a rich asshole, man. Yeah, it's like, never mind. I'm not even going to get into this debate right now. Yeah. I'm not even going to get into this debate. But what I thought was kind of weird too is like, you know, early on in the movie, it's like, yeah, you fucking laugh and you go fuck yourself too. You know, but what I thought was kind of weird too, it's like, you know, Frankenstein's away. His friend comes over, his friend comes over, you know, he's like kind of asking his fiance about him and so forth. And then they kind of allude that his friend is like in love with his fiance kind of thing. They allude to that, you know, and there was a couple of times that they alluded to that because, you know, towards the end of the movie where he tells him, he's like, if you take care of her no matter what. Even if I don't come back, you take care of her. And it's like, dude, he just kind of gave you the green light, man. It's like, I thought it was kind of interesting because it's in the movie, I don't see, they really didn't take that anywhere. It's just kind of odd that they put something like that in there. I guess maybe just to kind of keep your mind running.
Yeah.
You know?
It's showing that he really loves her, whatever.
And not to mention the fact that, think about it. Like, you know, girl, her fiancé is on kind of a weird tangent.
Mm.
You know, he's out, you know, like, oh, like.
But yeah, that's just it. It's like he's that brilliant kind of guy, you know. It's like, you know, just like in, you know, The Fly, you know. It's like, oh, you know, it's a, you know, my husband, he's brilliant. So she just kind of, she's understanding, you know. She kind of lets him kind of do his deal. I imagine she reels him in every once in a while when she's able to, but, you know. You know, in that instance, she wasn't able to, you know, but he went and sequestered himself, like, off in the countryside. So, I mean, he literally removed himself versus being in the basement.
Of course, like I said, it kind of reminds me of a thing of a friend of mine said that it's just like the old country song goes, you know, lonely women make good lovers, you know, because honestly, that's, you know, the French are, you know.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's age old kind of.
Not to mention, if Frankenstein died, that would have been the best time to swoop in, pick up the pieces, you know.
Yeah.
I guess the human instincts, I mean, the monster, I guess, if they're alluding that the monster tried to do that, that's what they're trying to say. It's like,
well, no, that's the thing about it. They never really, they don't know if he actually did try to, like, well, he salted her, definitely, but they didn't say how. Like, he just choked her and just, like, man. Then he just left because after he, you know. Or that I don't know. They really didn't say what kind of assault it was. Granted, I don't want to say he, like,
well,
he did the monster mash.
Yeah,
and, you know.
Yeah, I imagine he just got in there, she screamed, and he got spooked and ran away.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's pretty much how they
left it, and she passed out.
Honestly, that's, you know, that probably makes a lot more sense. Yeah. She screams. He's like, ah! And
yeah,
he just
freaks out.
Yeah, and then she just passes out.
Which,
like,
goes back to that
actually makes a lot more sense.
Misunderstood creature kind of thing, where he doesn't really necessarily do anything, but everybody else is freaking out.
Yeah, which, I mean, there's a lot of situations to where that question arises. I mean, pretty much almost anything he does, you know. I mean, you know, when he kills Fritz, it's, you know, he retaliated. I mean, he protected himself. I mean, you know, I can't blame him for that. I mean, I don't think anybody in this room can blame him for that.
Yeah, it's kind of like we create these monsters in our lives, and then we kind of they get out of control, and then we kind of just go back and try to deal with it. Like, we don't even try to understand it. We just try to just kill it off, or just,
yeah,
because we're afraid of what it might be.
Yeah,
but of course,
we don't understand it.
Well, that's kind of thing about it. He made the baby. He just wasn't ready to take care of the baby. He didn't really understand.
There you go.
He didn't understand, you know, like I said, the follow through. He didn't plan for that part.
Yeah. He accounted for the perfect experiment. He didn't account for problems arising.
The repercussions.
No. Yeah, or repercussions or problems or, you know, so even possible solutions to, you know, possible problems.
He didn't really understand what it meant to bring this life, this creature to life.
It's to do, but what do you do with it afterwards? You know, you do it just to do it. You know, it's like they kind of like raise the question in Jurassic Park. You know, it's like, you know, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. It's like you did it without any discipline at all whatsoever. It's like you did it just to do it.
Yeah.
And it's true. You know, a lot of things happen that way, you know, but that's
kind of like,
that's how people are, you know.
I always like to bring it, apply it to life, because when we talk about these movies and talk about what we can learn from these movies and these movies that we apply it to our own life is really understand what it is that we're doing. Like, you know, going back to my guitar analogy, I'm playing guitar and the outcome of this guitar and keeping my discipline is that at the end of the day, I'll be able to play some music. You know, I'll be able to, on a whim, be able to go play at a show or I might be able to play at a band, just sit in and make some money. You understand the idea of why you're doing these things, and maybe you understanding what you're doing and the reasoning behind what you're doing in your daily life, because at the end of the day, what is this going to amount to? It might become something completely just crazy, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, you could become so obsessed with, you know, your guitar and what you're trying to do. You could, you know, jeopardize friendships. You could, you know.
My marriage.
Yeah, your marriage, your home, your job, you know. And
you quit your job and all you do is just play guitar.
Yeah.
And then you kind of start neglecting your... See that would probably
be responsibility
just to play guitar, because one day you're gonna make it. Actually, if anything, that's an old song. Just people just like Jose, you have a day job, but you didn't decide like, you know, I'm gonna quit all this. I'm just gonna concentrate on my music,
right?
And that's all you did. And even though maybe like Chris, granted, sometimes you know it happens. Like some people do get very successful doing that, but honestly, it's kind of like the Michael Jordan syndrome, where they have kids where they think they could become as famous as Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
But then turns out, well, that's the thing. It's a very competitive, you know, just to get just to get into the college ball compared to actually getting
But everybody else sells them that, you know? That bullshit dream, you know? It's like, yeah, it could happen. The odds, though. The odds.
And then there's one.
You know what you do? Just have fun doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't turn it into something serious.
Exactly.
I mean, come on. It's like, out of here.
I think you see this in classic Hollywood stories where, like, these actors want to be something. They want to be famous, and they become famous, and then they're going through a crazy depression because they made it. You know, they made this monster. They're a persona. They're this celebrity. But then they don't. They still feel empty. They don't know what to do.
They did. You know, they created the monster. They just didn't know how to take care of it.
There you go.
Bringing
it back.
Yeah.
Bringing it back, fellas.
Like that, or...
So, like I said, once...
Didn't hold on to the things that were actually worth holding on to.
Well, no, like I said, once you get to the mountaintop, you have to realize what you do after the mountaintop.
No, yeah. I mean, I got that, but you just got to pay attention to what you're doing.
All right. We'll hear.
You know, don't step on people to get where you want to go.
Okay. All right. So, anyway, what's that? Did you want
to... Does it really distract you when you're doing that?
you're freaking out there. But yeah. But honestly, yeah, that's what I kind of got out of the movie, the fact that, you know, you just need to get an exit plan before you decide to make your monster.
Well, it's proper planning. It's like most anything with proper planning. But you're not going to be able to foresee everything that you're going to see.
You still got a plan.
Don't let it get out of control.
Exactly. Yeah, well,
so said, don't quit your day job and just.
No. I've already.
Piss away everything and, you know.
So, yeah, we get so.
You know, because it, oh, you know, wait, and unfortunately, it's a true human fallacy.
So, Halloween, real quick. I just wanted to talk about something about Halloween.
What's up?
What about it?
So, this is a Halloween special.
Okay.
What are some movies that we didn't get to talk about that would be good movies for people to watch on Halloween? Just real quick.
My favorite, The Thing. John Carpenter's Thing. We talked about doing a show about that, but we ended up doing a little bit more classic. That's always my favorite. Of course, John, you know, the original Fly, 1985.
Yeah.
With Goldblum. If you want to do any of the Howling movies, those are pretty good werewolf movies. You can't go wrong with the original Friday the 13th. One through five. Don't go past six.
Yeah.
It's garbage after six.
Halloween, Pumpkinhead, Night of the Living Dead, which I would love to do a show, but everybody does Night of the Living Dead, so I'd leave that up to you.
Yeah.
Even older classic movies, you know, the House on Haunted Hill with Vincent Price. Most any Vincent Price movie, really, to be honest. House of Wax.
You know what? Edward Scissorhands, which also has...
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
You know,
oh, that's
Vincent
right,
Price.
Yeah,
it's
kind of
like
a
Halloween, Thanksgiving kind
of... Yeah, kind of. You know, it just depends. Hell, The Invisible Man.
The Invisible Man, yeah.
The original Invisible Man. The Mummy, the werewolf, you know. You know, see where these brain children, you know, come from, you know, and then go further back and look at lore.
You know? And you might even throw in just the hokey ones. Frankenstein meets the Wolfman.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Wolfman meets Dracula.
Albert and Costello Blackula meets Mummy.
Any of the, was it the black, the 1970 black exploitation movies? Those are great.
Yeah, because there's some weird horror movies that, that go down that go that yeah, route.
Any Stephen King movie, really? That's...
Yeah, there, yeah, there's that.
Current ones, Stranger Things on Netflix right now. That's actually that's a really good one. Let's see. Crap, I was just about to bring up
Hellraiser.
Hellraiser's. I don't know. They kind of started getting off the rails after like
the first one is.
Well, no, I didn't say watch the whole series. Yeah. Just Hellraiser. It's like just the first one or whichever one's your favorite one. Yeah. You know. And,
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Toy Master.
Yeah.
Toy Maker.
Nightmare on Elm Street that also starts getting in the hokey realm after like
five, or three. You know, but I mean, but those are some of the old greats, you know. It's, you know, even though it's, they
like
do
the
get
original
hokey.
Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, Friday the 13th. I mean, when I was up in, but the Grunkalunkas, man, you know, it's like we watched the second Halloween movie and Happy Beyond. It's like, and it's just good, you know.
But the thing is, if you, I mean...
Of course, I was telling him, I was like, you do know that that's the mask. It's William Shatner. And he's like, is it really? He's like, I knew it looked familiar. I just couldn't place it. Like, yeah, it's William Shatner's Star Trek mask.
I think the one that always gets me is just what should get everybody is The Exorcist.
Yes.
And the number one.
Oh, you watch the uncut version? Oh, man, when she comes down the stairs, it's like, oh!
The crazy crab walk.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, that's
that Amityville Horror. Classic.
Never seen it.
You've never seen the Amityville Horror? Wow.
It's going to be one of them.
It's based off a true story, too, man. It's weird. Because there's the original one. Well, there's several different versions that they did. And then they did the one with the guy who played Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
Which actually wasn't too bad. I was kind of like, meh, but it was actually not a bad.
Ryan Reynolds.
Bad movie. Yeah. Ryan Reynolds, yeah. Annabelle, that's crazy. I can't remember the first one, but you can watch either one in either
the
order.
Omen?
The Omen, yes, that's a good classic one.
It's all for,
you, Damien.
It's all for you. I was going to say one where, like, you should watch it just to know how bad it is. The Blair Witch Project.
Oh,
that
God.
One I didn't like. I saw that in the theater, and I was just like, oh, this is, oh, like, it annoyed me.
So,
but I think you should watch it just
yeah,
to.
Yeah, but Bob can't handle shaky cam. He starts getting sick.
Well, here's the thing. You guys are probably going to hate me, but. That movie and Paranormal Activity, I just fell asleep.
Honestly, when I first saw The Blair Witch, I found it interesting. I actually found it interesting because it was something different, and it kind of had like almost like it was something that was actually going on kind of feel to it. Although my favorite part is like at the end. The very end where it's like she's running through the creepy ass house and then she like runs downstairs and it's like, you know, the one dude, he's just like standing in the corner like a bad kid. And she's like, what are you doing? And then they end it. It's like, oh, it's great. You just don't know.
See, well, no. And the thing is, the reason why I like that scene, like, cause that was pretty my favorite scene. But the reason I like that scene, cause on Sci-Fi, they had like Blair Witch origin kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about that it was a killer who he would get children and he would mm-hmm. have them standing in the corner while he killed one of them.
Yeah.
And then he'd get another one. And then, you know, of course, they're just standing in the corner kind of thing.
Yeah, they're slowly killed off. And,
yeah, and see, that.
They're made to listen to it. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and of course, that's the reason I enjoyed it because I actually watched that before. I would not understood it when, like, if
no, I just thought it was crazy. You know, she's, like, scared and she finally finds him and he's just, you know, there in the corner and won't respond at all. What was the other one you mentioned?
Paranormal Activity.
I finally saw Paranormal Activity. I was so disappointed. It's like weird demonic people. Get out of here, man. Where's the ghost? Where's the demon? Now it's just possessed people. Go away. Go away with that shit.
There's
it was horrible.
In my opinion,
it had me until that shit, you know. It's like
if you really, really wanna be freaked out, if you wanna do something outside movies, go to YouTube and look up like Slenderman type stuff.
Oh, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about, yeah.
And then also,
That's up north, isn't it?
Yeah.
Folklore up north, yeah.
Well, no, that was just kind of like an urban myth. Actually, it was a story that turned into urban myth.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
And then also, the other one was Alan Tutorial.
Mm.
Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
So they're on YouTube, and they start talking about underdeveloped brains. This person might be underdeveloped, mm-hmm. and he's in this room, and he's trying to give these tutorials, and they're not they're not long. They're like maybe a minute 30. Some are longer. Mm-hmm. Some are shorter. But if you actually want to see something that's going to kind of freak you out, pay attention and watch the whole YouTube series. And it's, I don't want to give too much away. It's just magical. And it's just, when I mean magical, it's like, it's fucking creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It gets pretty insane. You start trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
Mm.
I will leave you with that. Mm. That's probably going to be the pick right there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, here, I was just going to mention that we're going to, for last year's show, we're going to probably put that up like sometime.
Oh, yeah.
The Mary Allen College. Do you remember that one? Or did we do that one last year?
I don't know if it's loaded up.
If it was the second one, then no.
No.
So, yeah, we've got that other show that we did.
So check the Blunderbuss special, guys. You can find them on YouTube. We'll put the link below so you guys can check out some Halloween stories from the Blunderbuss special.
All right, cool. Yeah, I guess.
Awkward silence.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you gotta love that, man. It's like just people get all.
Of course, then when we go on the camping trip, we're gonna be next to the haunted house. I really don't want to be too close.
Oh, on the haunted trip.
Yeah.
I haven't been out there. I haven't been out that part of the property yet, so I couldn't tell you, man.
It, like compared to the like when we actually go to the camp.
Oh, Dale's gonna bring his ghost hunting equipment.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, of course he is.
Of course he is. And then that's how we end up like in some kind of crazy. That's going to be our own how we die, like, you know. They're going to bite
us. Not me, I'm armed.
This has been a CP7 production, brought to you in part by Webflix, because movie theaters are for grandpa, and Blockbuster Video. Good luck finding one near you. I'm getting word that we are no longer sponsored by Blockbuster Video.
They're out of business.
They're out of business.
Don't say that on the air.
Follow Jose at Instagram @jsando83. Like the podcast? Like us at facebook.com/classicsatjosiescafe. Like the music? Of course you do. Tonight's spooky music brought to you by J-Rod Productions. From all of us at CP7, good night, good morning, and good day.